Well, we're excited to be here at New Life, one of my favorite churches, and under one of my favorite pastors. I think you guys are blessed to have Pastor John as your pastor. He's one of the best leaders that I know. And this includes business and church, and I've been traveling, speaking in churches since, I don't know what, 95? So a lot of different churches, great to speak to a lot of good pastors. And you are really blessed to have a great leader who cares about his people. So let's give God a big hand for our local church and a guy like Pastor John. And so we're excited this morning and then tonight. Everybody, if you could, say tonight. All right, that was good. 6 o'clock. I think it's 6, isn't it? Yeah, we'll go to like 6, like 7:38. We'll have question and answers. And it's going to be a good time. And it's something that I really believe everybody needs to be at. How many people have prayed about their money in the last 6 months? Okay, maybe you cursed about your money. That's like a reverse prayer. How many folks ever done that? Okay, that guy over there, he didn't raise his hand for praying. He raised his hand for curse. That's okay, bro. We all flow together. But, you know, money is in the news a lot, and it's affected a lot of people, and it breaks my heart. It breaks your heart to see it's how it's really rattled homes and families. But the thing that we can do to battle and win back is to get new levels of wisdom, get new levels of knowledge. Isn't that right? If you could throw up Proverbs 4, 5, and 8. And, well, let's actually start with Deuteronomy 30, 19, and 20. It's part of the teaching, part of talking about tonight. Deuteronomy 30, that was really good. That was quick. Very good. All right, this is a great scripture. God's talking. He said, I call heaven and earth as a witness today that I put before you what? I set before you life and death. Everybody say life and death. Death and curse. I mean, not life and death. Life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love God, obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days. Why? So that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Anytime you see land in the Old Testament, it refers to the promises of God. In the New Testament, it refers to finances. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob refers to covenant. We have a covenant with God. And God gives us the power. Everybody say, I got the power. I know it's question and responding and repeating so early in the morning, but that's okay. Bear with me. So you got the power. God's the original hippie. Come on, remember back in the 60s? I see some of us were around in the 60s. Power to the people, power to the people. Isn't that right? Yeah. Come on, you remember that. Come on. Come on, we're near Berkeley and all that wild stuff up here. Some of y'all. How many folks are glad to see like young guys getting longer hair now? How many folks are like, hey, I like that. Come on, mind you when you're in high school and college and stuff. Anyway, what does that have to do with anything? Anyway, power to the people. God gives you the power, and he gives you the power through the power of choices. The power of choices. You know, everybody makes decisions, but in the end, our decisions make us. We're not helpless. It's not necessarily the economy, the system, the Democrats, the Republicans, George Bush, Obama, or any of them. They're all factors, but the final thing, and that's what I like about this financial piece, university talks about your economy. My economy is determined by the choices I make. Now, we can blame other folks, but if we put the blame on them, then we give them the responsibility to fix my life. And how many folks know they don't care? And God holds me responsible for my family. I got a wife, I got two little boys, I got a 3 1/2 and a 1 1/2. And it's my responsibility to learn what I need to learn, do what I need to do to take care of my family. Isn't that right? Yeah, I mean, so the politicians come around every 4 years, and then that's about it. So the Bible says that we got the choices. And here's the cool part about money. To be successful in your finances, the things you need to do are easy. Everybody say easy. Easy. The problem is the things to not be successful are also easy. They're both easy. The question is, which easy am I going to do? Now, usually my flesh, my lower nature, the stuff that wants it comfortable, the stuff that will not make you successful, we gravitate towards. Isn't that right? Come on. But it's easy to sit down and get a pencil and paper and make a plan. I mean, how hard is that? This isn't that heavy. That's easy, but it's also easy to put this down, close a book, and turn on the remote. It's easy to drive here tonight. No traffic jams. Come on, plenty of seating. They'll probably have coffee for you. Free babysitting. Woo, that's easy. That's easy. But it's also easy to just stay at home. Like, I don't know, family night. Going to watch, Sunday night, going to get something off Netflix, download it, catch a movie, just chill. Isn't that right? That's easy. And that's cool. You need family time, but maybe one Sunday night you can come out. Because that movie's not going to help you change your life. But you could learn something. I guarantee you'll learn something tonight, at least two or three things that you can apply to your life that will make it better, which you won't get off any movie. Isn't that right? Well, I just want to watch TV. I don't even know what's on Sunday night. Usually speaking somewhere. But here's one of the first CDs I ever listened to, tape I ever listened to. A guy said that most people never get to their dream, never get to their destiny, because they spend more time, more money, and more effort watching other people go after their dream and destiny than they were willing to invest in their own destiny. How many folks know that's true? What's your cable bill? $60, $70 a month? All we're doing is investing in somebody else's dream. I went to a church right outside Hollywood. Half the people were in the industry. I still see them on commercials and stuff. So I'll call my buddies and say, hey, man, you just got paid. He goes, wow, so I saw your hot dog commercial. Every time, cha-ching. How would you like to be that kid on Can You Hear Me Now? That kid made a lot of money, man. But all we're doing is watching young men and women, actors and actresses, go after their dream and destiny. Isn't that right? Or sports. There's one right there. It's one group of millionaires against another group of millionaires. Isn't that right? Yeah, that's all it is. And then later on, they're going to go on strike. Come on, we got Ernie here with the Raiders. Come on, his millionaires are in silver and black. Your millionaires might be in burgundy and gold. Isn't that right? My millionaires are in green and silver, the Eagles, and I don't know why they didn't win. But that's all right. That's another theory. Yeah, but we'll be dedicated. Got to go out and buy the new jersey. Isn't that right? We're dedicated. My dad, we used to watch the Eagles game in the 60s and 70s. And that's cool. But to the guys on the teams, like, hey, my contract's out. I'm going somewhere else. Like that cornerback for the Raiders is coming to the Eagles. Praise the Lord. We need him. The guy with the long name I can't pronounce, he's good. He's going to look good in green. But the point is, we have choices. And tonight you have a choice. You can invest. I heard a guy say, this was powerful. Most people don't get to their dreams because they spend their time rather than invest their time. When you spend something, it's gone. When you invest in something, you get a return. So tonight, come on out here. We have the choices. Proverbs 4, 5, and 8. My background is in finances. I have a bachelor's degree, a master's degree in Drexel University, which is out of Philadelphia. But now I see there's one in Sacramento. I was driving from the airport, and there's Drexel. We're doing all right. We're moving up the food chain. I think we're in the top 60 now in business universities. I got my master's there. I taught there. They asked me to stay on after I graduated undergraduate to stay on. They paid for my master's, and I taught. And then I was with Ernst & Young. That's the CPA firm, one of the big guys. Did that, and then have been in financial planning. We have our own firm, and we help people, with retirements, solutions. We do just a few strategies that will help people, even when the market goes down, not to lose money. So we've been very busy. The ministry that we do, as everything, helps us go into Nicaragua. We have a missions work there. Okay, but look at this. This is God speaking, and Proverbs 4, 5, and 8, it says, get wisdom. Get wisdom, that means you don't have it. If I got to go get it, I'm going to go get some coffee, doesn't mean I have it, right? Get wisdom, get understanding. Why? Because you will only progress in any area of life to the degree of wisdom that you have. We are where we are financially because based on the wisdom that we obtained. And if I'm not willing to change my wisdom, my ideas, my habits, my thinking, nothing's going to change. Doesn't matter who gets elected, doesn't matter what job you get, you're still going to have the same habits. It always depends on the wisdom level. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? So do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her. How do I forsake wisdom? It's when I have an opportunity to learn something, but I choose to do something else. I'm forsaking it. Isn't that right? In the marriage vows, forsaking all others, I choose you. Remember them? Okay? So like when I got married, I forsook all the other women in the world. I don't think anybody was crying. Okay? And I said, I'm going to marry Marie. Y'all with me on this? See, so that's it. So forsaking it. And she, well, look at this. In this economy, God promises when we increase our wisdom, the wisdom will preserve you. How many folks need that? Come on, love her. How do you love somebody? You spend time with them, and she will keep you. How many folks need that in this economy? Come on. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting. Get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. God's wisdom based on the Bible. I have a master's degree, all kinds of professional designations, CPA, CFP, whatever else is out there. And the greatest, most relevant 21st century book on finances is the Bible. It wasn't written by a bunch of shepherds who were out of touch with our high tech. Because why? The Bible deals with three things. Relationship with God and relationship with people. How many folks know the relationship with people never changes? Come on, pride is pride 2,000 years ago, and it looks the same today. Isn't that right? Financial wisdom. There's a guy based on the Bible in 1993 said, unless we change our lending practices, there'll come a time in the near future when there will be a negative thing happen, and it will affect the lenders and the borrowers will be significantly changed. And he says that's totally based on the Bible. People laughed at him. People said, you're old-fashioned, but maybe he was right. So we have a chance tonight to get wisdom. We also have some, where's my man Ernie? Come on, Raider Nation, 8-8 this year. We're getting there. Come on. The other stuff too. Come on up, Ernie. We got some stuff to back there. That was also part of the teaching, but we'll just dovetail this rather than do it at the end. Hold this, Ernie. Hey, how do I get started? We got a CD series, and we give you two books, five CDs on becoming a financial champion, seven choices that everybody makes every day that'll help you get better finances. People say, where do I get started? There's so much information. We get through the noise to the clutter, give you seven choices. You get the five CDs, and then we give you two books. The books are $20 each, but we give you them. That's a great place to start. Not anybody here, but maybe you've had challenges with marriage and money. Nobody here. Okay, 80% of our arguments in marriage are about Raiders or 49ers. No, I'm only kidding. Y'all, it's called a Knicks family, Raider and a 49er. Anyway, but it's marriage and money. I go through team, traps couples fall into, environments to create it so you can talk about it. There was a couple in Seattle. They made a ton of money. They said, we've always made a ton of money, but we always argued about money no matter what for 20 years till we got the principles that are on this. This will help you go back and invest in your marriage. And then we have, where's that silver thing? We have a flash drive. We'll go over this more tonight, but real quick. We have a flash drive moving into the 20th century here, sorry. All this, 40 hours of teaching is on this down little thing. How many people think it's amazing nowadays? I think it's called a flash drive memory stick. It's called something. You can put it on your iPod, your wife's iPod, your kid's iPod. Download this. We give you 40 hours of teaching for about the cost of your cable. So go back there. You get all these or download it onto that. Invest in yourself. Everybody say, I'm worth it. All right, let's go into your teaching. Here you go, Ernie. Let's give Ernie a hand. All right, let's look at your scriptures. Come on, the handout you have. This is a great series, How to Be Rich. I've read all the notes. It says, God is testing you. Isn't that right? Fill in your blank. God is testing you. Everybody say, testing is good. See, now we think that's negative. God is testing you. But what's the purpose of testing? To build capacity. I have a little 3.5-year-old, Samuel, who is 150% little boy. There's nothing he can't climb or jump over or think he can, especially now that he watches Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and yawned, okay? So I test him, but I'm right when I'm building his capacity. He likes to jump. I'm like, okay, Samuel, try to jump off of that. Now he climbs up, and I don't make him do it. You know, and so he jumps and he builds his capacity. Now, I don't make him do it. He likes to do it. See, but testing is good. Why? Because testing does a lot of things. It reveals strength and capacity. We test things to build them, right, to help you build your capacity. Capacity is a key word here. You will only grow in any area of your life to your capacity. In finances, there's a certain capacity. And it's easy. It's not as hard as everybody makes it out to be. You just got to get basic wisdom, and we'll get into that tonight. We'll talk about five things everybody needs to do in this year. The two battles everybody must win in finances if you're going to get to the point where you can retire successfully. Out of 100 people turning 65 today, do you know how many can retire financially secure, being defined as only $35,000 a year in income? Out of 100 in America, Try four. That's got to change. Well, it'll just work out. It doesn't just work out. There's a major article about major unemployment among seniors because they're looking for work because they're afraid they're going to run out of money. That's a lot of what we do with our firm, creating lifetime income and stuff. But it's grown into an epidemic, especially what happened in the market. Isn't that right? We just can't do ostrich financial planning. What's that? Stick your head in the ground and it's all going to work out. Because when I got my head in the ground, what's sticking up? Just a thought. Come on, the purpose of testing is to build capacity, right? Coaches will test. That's what practice is, testing, running wind sprints, doing those things. So testing is good. Like you read, oh, God is testing. That's not negative. That's positive. What else? Testing, what is the purpose of testing? Promotion. You get tested in school. Why? Okay, you pass the second grade, you get promoted to the third grade. Pass the third grade, you pass the test, you get promoted to the fourth grade. The purpose of testing is for promotion. Isn't that a good thing? So God is testing us to see how we'll handle money, and that's very good. The also, testing will help you get to your next level, right? And somebody might be in a trade. So what do? You start as an apprentice. Okay, you start as an apprentice, carpenter, electrician, plumber, okay? And then you got to pass a test. You got to have certain standards, and then you get bumped up to the next level. You have greater responsibilities, greater capacity. In my business, you got to get certain license. You get licensing. You get licensed, and you must, so you can go handle millions of dollars and help people. You have to pass tests to get that capacity. Everybody say testing is good. Okay, how do we fail the test of prosperity? And there's the scripture there. Also, the result of testing is that if you have been trusted in handling worldly wealth, you'll be trusted with true riches. The greater I pass the test, I can get the better things in life, which is God and all that. How to fail the test of prosperity? Luke 12, 16 and 19. And he said, and it's to focus solely on yourself, to believe that more is always for me. Everybody say, it's all about me. See, it's not all about you. It's all about others. And I like reading stuff, especially mindsets. One of the M's of money is your mindset. And there's a lot of frustration in our society because, and I got this out of a business CD I was listening to. He says, we're wired to give. We're wired to give. And something dawned on me. I think it's the reason we're so frustrated, because society wires us to get. We're going to live in a very heavily marketed marketing society, and the whole purpose of marketing is to get you to believe you need something when you really don't. Isn't that right? Come on, you have a nice car, you like your car, then you see an ad for another car. And it's all set that way. I know somebody that was working, I think it was on DVD players. Oh, no, my friend ran into a guy who was on this new DVD player. I don't know what company he worked for. Let's just say Sony. One of the high-tech companies, and the guy, and he said, man, I really like your new DVD player. You guys just come out. I'm going to get it. And the man who worked for Sony says, no, don't get that one. He goes, wait till 3 comes out. This is only number 1. 3's got all the cool features. We already have it, but it's coming out in 2 years. And the guy says, well, why don't you put it out now? And the guy goes, why? We put out 1. Everybody, oh, we got to get it. They go get it. A year later, we'll put out 2 with some new improved features. And we'll get more people that didn't get 1, but we'll get half the people who got 1 because they went to new and improved. And then we come out with 3, we'll get half the 1s we didn't get before, and we'll get half the 2s, and we'll get all the new people. All marketing. Isn't that right? So we need to stay. He said, I'll get more, I'll do more, and I'll do more. And even in the society is even making the fact that just getting is not going to satisfy. What's his name? Montel Williams. He suffered through MS. Read some great stuff on overcoming obstacles. He wrote a new book called about happiness. And they said, what's the biggest thing you found out that surprised you? He goes, all the research I did, years of research, I found that the main cause of happiness is never what you get, but it's only what you give. All philosophies, he named Jesus, he named other philosophers. I don't know if he's a Christian, but he said that it's all based on what we give. See, we're wired to give. And that's why it says here, God says, you're a fool. You know, now if other people call you a fool, you might not listen. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? But when God says, you a fool, I mean, folks know you should listen. You go, you a fool, man, if you think it's all about you. If you think God put you in the highest, best economy, oh, it's terrible. No, it's not. Everything's relative. And I think reading your notes, we're all in the top 4 or 5%. Isn't that right? If you live just a normal American life, you're in the top 5% of all the other people who ever sucked air. Isn't that right? Now, we don't like to hear that because we want to stay in our self-pity and feel sorry for ourselves. Isn't that right? Yeah. Okay, but I'll give you an example. My wife and I, we go down to Nicaragua. It's down in Central America. 50% unemployment. When it goes below 50, the government celebrates. We're got an improvement. Now, 50% unemployment with no government programs. No food stamps, no welfare, no unemployment compensation, no Social Security, no housing. So we work with the people who live in the trash dump. Why do they live in the trash dump? Not because they're ignorant and lazy, but they live there because they're trying to make something happen. They got little kids, there's no jobs, they don't turn the crime, they don't turn the drugs. I admire the men and women. They go to the trash dump to fight over paper, plastic, bottles, and wood so they can recycle it and feed their kids. I admire their people. They're basically entrepreneurs. They're making the best they can of what they have. So they got, the government, we need a place to live. They said, well, go find one. So they make their homes in the trash dump. And we work with kids and we take them out every day. I think we got 16. Well, that was as of yesterday. If my wife called down there and talked to our staff, we could have a couple more. You never know. Oh, honey, look at this kid. Look where they live. Maybe we could add one more. But that's normal. That's the way 80% of the world lives. Not necessarily in the trash dump, but day to day. Isn't that right? See, so God says here that we fail the test when we don't give him what's rightfully his. And he says, anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. Now, notice God doesn't say, he does not say that it's bad to store up things. He doesn't say, so is anyone who stores up for himself. No, he says, if you store up and you're rich towards God, it's okay. God doesn't say having it is bad. What he's saying is not giving it is the tough part. See, a lot of there's churchianity and Christianity. I'm in the Christianity, which elevates, is all about going to your next level. Jesus was always about your next level. The first thing he said, my mission statement. Come on, I see, there's probably a lot of business guys here. You have a mission statement. Huh? Mission statement is Jesus in Luke 4:18-19. It says, I've come, I'm anointed, I'm appointed. Number one, bring good news to the poor, to help those that are oppressed, to open blind eyes, to set the captives free. Come on, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is elevation at every level, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus is all about elevation. There's no end to the elevation we can have when we do it his way. The Bible says, I think it's Psalm 62:10, that God's paths drip with prosperity. I mean, they're overflowing, but God's path. What's the theme song of mediocrity and failure? I did it my way. I did it my way. Okay, great. Look what happened. We did it our way. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. Well, we don't believe that. How many folks believe it now? He doesn't say it's wrong to have. He just says it's not wrong to give. See, God never judges greed in the Bible by how much you make. Church folks will get mad if you make too much, but God doesn't. You make $10 million a year and you got ideas to make another 10, God's there. Go for it, bro, as long as you're being rich towards God. Isn't that right? We should encourage our successful businessmen and women in the church, not make it feel guilty. Isn't that right? Come on. At the end of a game, you need a basket. You give it to the guy who knows, who has 25 points, right? Okay, I don't know who he is up here. Your basketball team's not there. Well, they got a couple good scores. What's his name? That guy like Stephen Curry. Oh, that guy can shoot. Isn't that right? Come on. You get near the end of the game, he's getting the ball. Isn't that right? You're not giving the ball to Dallenberg. Come on. I know. We got rid of him in Philly. Y'all with me on this? Now, he want the ball, but he don't deserve the ball, okay? You averaging 4 points a game, bro. Y'all with me? We gonna give it to him. He can shoot from half court and make it. Right? We say, come on, man. You know how to score. Here's the ball. Well, we should do that in the church. You making $10 million? Come on, we gonna pray for you. You know how to get the job done. Isn't that right? Everybody say, I got the choices. Come on, how to be choice. Okay, how to be rich. Now, I'm gonna kind of step on your toes a little bit right now. Okay, I'm going to anyway, but 1 Timothy 6:17, it says, command those who are rich in this present world. We don't like that. Command? You gonna tell me what to do? Command? Who is you to tell command me? Oh, I'm just reading the Bible. I just read the Bible. Command those who are rich, which is us, right? We're in the top 10% of the world. Woo! Not to be arrogant nor to put the hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. Oh, 10 years ago, we didn't believe that. How many folk know it's uncertain? But God never changes. Command them to do good. You can't command me. How can we get a little hairs on our neck when we talk about God commanding us to do stuff? Isn't that right? Command them. Nobody commands me. Oh, yeah, they do. Your boss commands you. Oh, we got a meeting. You need it at 6 in the morning. We had to move it up. I got to catch a plane. I'm commanding you. Isn't that right? Clients, customers command you. Oh, I said I need it on Friday, but I need it on Tuesday if you want the business. Oh, I could do it. Government commands you. They decide on how much they're going to command the money take out of your pocket. Isn't that right? And then they tell you it's an honor. But God commands us. Who is God? Well, it's creator of the universe. Who only wants the best for us. See, God only commands us because he wants the best. I'm trying to work that with my son. I love my son. He's a great kid. He's a great kid. But even as cute as he is, how many folks know we all got a lower nature? So I'm there. Samuel, look at daddy. Life is better when you obey. Makes it a whole lot easier. I mean, he's a great kid. He's full of energy. He loves life. I think he would stay up 24/7. My other son, he's tired. He's going to bed. And then my wife called me yesterday, and she said, honey, Samuel actually came to me and said, Mommy, I'm tired. I want to take a nap. I said, that's definitely one of the signs of the end times. I mean, damn it, Jesus coming back on that one right there. Y'all, it was only a 15-minute nap, and he was up again. But I'm just saying, Sam, if you just do what I tell you to do, Mommy and Daddy always want the best for you. The reason we tell you not to climb on the kitchen table is you might fall. Isn't that right? See, so come on, kids. And this is really cool. I got this out of a business magazine I read. It's called Success Magazine. It's a good magazine. But it talked about giving. There's studies done at Harvard and Stanford. One is like a 50-year study. It says that giving, your time and money, they actually have studies. I wrote this down. It's right out of this magazine. And Michael Dell's on the front cover. This was the September 2010. He's from around here. Okay. It says, giving time and money keeps you younger and happier, studies show. All studies of longevity, one secret that makes people healthier and happier is giving of their time and money to help others. They actually say there's a 60% drop in mortality among people with heart problems because when they start giving. Stanford said people who donate their money are happier than people with the same amount of money who don't give. Charity. Something happens. God is so cool. He's structured in our physical being because we're spirit, soul, and body. So spiritually, it's good. And I'll talk on that in a minute. Emotionally, it's good because of what they said here. But they also said the thoughts, and physically, it's actually good. Thoughts of giving to help others do things in your body that strengthen your immune system. They actually call it a giver's high in this magazine, in this study. Endorphins actually kick in for people who are donating. And I thought about that. I remember recently our church, the first Saturday of every month, they go to the homeless and do a feeding program. You got to get up like 6:30 in the morning. So we did it. My wife and we took our two little kids with us, hand up. We made a bunch of sandwiches. And when you get done, man, there's like a little buzz inside. God structured it. When we give, there's actually physical studies that there's changes in your body. It boosts positive emotions. It decreases pain. It provides stress relief. I already said this. Charitable people with heart attack patients recover faster than those who don't. Here's one. Some research says 15 minutes of daily gratitude can dramatically decrease the stress hormones in your body. Everybody say God is cool. Giving is a great release. You know, this other CDOs, us know in business, said that we're actually wired to give. And I think that's where the challenge is. We're wired on the higher level to give, but our lower nature just wants more and more, right? I kid around that my son's favorite toy is the one his little brother is playing with. Okay, now he could have two Buzz Lightyears, but if Amadeus picks up Woody, he wants Woody. I need it. Son, you got Buzz in each arm, man. And my son's good, so I had to teach him. We had to teach our kids to share, right? Mommy, daddy, no, and mine. First four words every kid learns, isn't that right? Mine, 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 mine. Isn't that right? We got tea. So now, on there, Samuel, give it to Amadeus. So finally, boom, I remember exactly where in their bedrooms because we wrestled the night before we go to bed. And he's like, here, Amadeus. I'm there, Sammy, it feels good to share. He goes, yeah, Dad, it feels good to share. Next time, here, Amadeus. So now it's like 80% share. See, there's something in us that releases us. It feels good to share. So you guys are got a great opportunity to make the wisest financial decision you have ever made in this four-month tithe challenge. I really strongly recommend and command you to get involved in this. You waste 10% of your money anyway. Well, if I give 10%, I don't know if I can make it. I got my numbers figured out for retirement. Okay, let's think about this. How many people's 401k became a 201k? Not okay. So let's say, on an average, maybe you lost $100,000, right? One's left before the big drop, $40 trillion in assets lost in America. And what's amazing is to me that all these companies just go, let's just keep doing the same thing. There's other ideas. But anyway, if you lost $100,000, let's say you lost $20,000. If before the drop I said to you, what you need to do is take $10,000 out of your 401k and forget the tax implications for a minute, all right? Just the money. Take the $10,000 and give it to your church. Oh, brother, I can't do that. Man, that'll mess up all my finances. I'll never get to retirement. See, you're just trying to get my money. But poof, the magic dragon, it's gone. $20,000, $50,000, $100,000. Say you lost $100,000. Some of you in the room have. Wonder if I would have said you give $50,000 to your local church. You would have angst over it. But now it's gone. Where'd it go? I don't know. But everybody go, I'll get it back. Here we go. Now we're going, I'll still be okay. Isn't that right? I'll still make it. How many folks? Isn't that right? Now you lost it. Poof. It went. Nobody knows where it went. Right? And we say, I'll be okay. But the thought of giving half of what you would have lost to God, oh, I don't know, bro. Come on, laugh. You know it's true. I don't know if I could have done that back then. I'll never make it. But you lost twice as much, and you're like, I'll still make it. I can work. I got a brain. I got a plan. And that's a good attitude. But my challenge is, what about God? Let me tell you why you're giving so powerful. That's what I have left, right? Okay. All right. Just want to make sure, like to obey. Okay, why is this thing powerful? Is this helping you this morning? Even if you don't want to give, it is pretty cool. All right, there it is. There's my scriptures. I got a lot of stuff here. All right. So here's why you're giving so powerful. In Mark 12:30-31, and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. How many folks have heard those scriptures, right? When you give to this church, which is Touching Lives, Pastor John always gives us something for Nicaragua. And also, when you buy this stuff, the CDs and stuff, you're helping us in Nicaragua. Because for about a decade, we lived off our ministry as well as our business. But now I've structured it. I have my best year last year, and this year's doing great, so that we never need to take anything out of our ministry, that everything's going to end up in Nicaragua. That's pretty cool, huh? So not only are you helping yourself, you're helping some kids that are living in the trash dump. How many people are glad your kid doesn't wake up smelling like the trash dump? Come on. Then I say that not out of guilt, but out of gratitude. Y'all with me on this? So anyway, and you shall love the Lord your God. So when I give, and you love God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your money represents your heart, your mind, and your soul. I don't know about you, but money doesn't come easy. You remember the old song? Some of you used to dance to it in that white suit. She works hard for her money. Come on, somebody. Everybody sing it. I work hard for my money. Come on, isn't that right? What do? You give your heart, your mind, your soul. You give your time. You give your talents that you developed. Isn't that right? You put your sweat, your blood. If you're in sales, you got your own business. Man, you're thinking about that bad boy a lot. So you're saying to God, okay, God, I'm going to take some of this that I worked hard for. Now, you gave me the time. You gave me the talent. You put me in an economy that actually functions. So I'm grateful for that. And I'm going to give it back to you so other people can benefit by what's happened at New Life. there's like a DNA to a seed. Isn't that right? Like if you look at a seed of an apple seed, how does that work? That little thing grows up to be a big tree and we eat off it for 50 years. How does that work? Isn't that little thing? There's a DNA to it. Isn't that right? Well, the DNA to your giving seed in the spirit is that you are releasing into your soil of life this scripture of fulfilling the great commandment is because, God, I am loving you because I'm giving back to you what I can. And in the busyness of life, right, and we're in busy times. I mean, 40 years ago, one parent could work 40 hours and take care of a family of four or five. Nowadays, you need two parents working 43.5 hours to do the same thing. Busy. Now, some of it's our choices. We get overextend our schedule. But that's the reality of life. So we're saying, God, I can't go be a missionary. I can't do that. I can't go work a soup kitchen, but I can give to a church that's helping people's lives. So number one, you release that. Number two, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. How many people enjoy coming to New Life? Should be everybody here. It's 8:30 in the morning. You're in church. Come on, you got up early for this thing. And you're not going to do that unless there's some benefit. Right? Because in humans, we gravitate towards pleasure and stay away from pain. We gravitate towards what we want, we stay away. And I want to really encourage and challenge the folks who've had challenges in their money to come tonight, because a lot of times, like, I don't want to hear about money. It's created too much pain. And that's understandable. But come tonight. Because to me, I think God sees it as a step of faith, saying, God, I'm coming to you for answers. It's not Bob Ricky. I'm just going to teach the Bible and combine some business stuff. And God sees it as faith, as I can get something that can change my life. Now, is it going to be Puff the Magic Dragon? No, I'll talk about the law of what happens. Small, smart decisions applied with consistency over time will change. And we'll give you about four or five of those small, smart choices. It's easy. Push the easy button. Where was I? Oh, giving. See, love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, let's give. How old is this church? How long has this Pastor John been here? Anybody know? How much? 15 years. Yeah, I know. I've been coming for 10 years. So 15, did you say? Okay, how many people have been coming to this church for 15 years? All right, 7. I've only been coming for 10. So 7. So the rest of you, aren't you glad that the people 15, 14, 13, 12 years ago gave so this church could stay open? How many people coming for at least 10? Okay, so the rest of you, aren't you glad that these people and the other people back in 2000, 1999, 1998 gave so New Life could stay open? How many people have been coming for 5 years? Okay, about half. See? Aren't you glad these folks gave? They loved you when you probably couldn't give a rip about God. Probably thought it was stupid to go to church. I don't want to be a Christian, then I'm, this is cracks me up, then I'm narrow-minded. Okay. But if we have the wisdom of man, we're broad-minded. Let's figure this one out. This always cracks me up. The smartest human being uses what, 10, maybe 12% of their brain power? So we're broad-minded if we rely on human wisdom, which is 10 to 12% max. And we're narrow-minded if we rely on God's wisdom, who everybody admits is all-knowing. Talk about an oxymoron. Well, we're broad-minded. We rely on science. So that's real good. I like science. That's how I got here, by a plane. But really, everybody knows that you cannot, in 4 years, whatever science book you're teaching in school, they'll be laughed at in 4 years because it's outdated. And everybody thinks they're in modern times, but 20 years from now, they'll look back at us and say, wasn't it quaint back in 2010? We'll look back in 40 years, in 2050, they'll look back on us the same way we do on the 70s. It was quaint. Oh, look at the styles. Oh, look how simple life was. Isn't that right? But you know, the more science knowledge you get, the more it proves that the Bible's right. Just a sub-chapter there. Come on, so there's no greater love. Jesus said, this is my command, that you love one another as I love you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down your life for his friends. Now, we read that, we think about taking a bullet. You know what I mean? Lay down your life. And hopefully there'll never come a time, but it is getting crazy out there. And there really is an antagonism against Christianity, and not in a weird way, but you just read it. It's like you're goofy to be a Christian. That's right. I'm all in on Jesus. Who you all in on? You can't be half in. You either all in or no in. Come on, you all watch that poker. All in or no in? I got two aces, and they turned over three more aces. Well, there's only four. Well, Jesus, you get five. It's a stack deck, boy. Well, I don't know. I take a little bit of this. Okay, good. Put your money on that. So Jesus said, so no greater life. Now, the word life comes from the word, if anybody knows Greek here, forgive me if I don't say it. I think it's psuche or psyche. It's the word we get our psyche on. And it deals with your will, your emotions, your mind. No greater love do you have than to put your will and your emotions aside to help somebody else. Jesus, Jesus won victory for us, of course, at the cross, but he also won in the garden where he said, not my will, but your will. He laid down his life. Because your will is what determines everything. So no greater love do you have than we're going to take the offering soon, and you're going to have a chance to give. And you could say, well, I'm going to give generously, or, well, I got this bill, I got this bill. You know that big screen's on sale, and I got this, and I got that. And, oh, Macy's is having a sale, the January winter sale. And then Nordstrom's having their half sale. Isn't that right? And you got a closet full of clothes anyway. And maybe say, you know what? Maybe I'll sacrifice and just give a little bit more because Pastor John will help us in Nicaragua. See, that's greater love, is to lay down your life. I'm not going to buy what I want. I'm going to give a little extra. I'm going to get in the tithing challenge so that I can help this church get their building and do something. How many folks think that's powerful right there? Come on, Malachi 3. Now, what good does it do for you? Well, one, you're a team player, and that God helps the team. But look at Malachi 3. Bring all the tithes. Man, you are quick. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. There may be food in my house. Now, Jesus said, my food is to do the work of the Father. So you could put that in there. That there may be the work of the Father in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord. Now, this is really cool. You should write this down. This is the only place where God says, test me. It's the only place where God says, test me. Every place else, if you test me, you a crispy critter. And he's like, you, man, you smoke in your Bible if you think you can test me. Y'all with me? But right here, God says, test me. Why? Because he knew money would have a stronghold on our heart. And when we give, we're operating out of our higher nature, which is based on faith, generosity, and all things are possible. When we keep it, remember the four kids? Yes, mommy, daddy, no, and mine. So we carry that in adulthood. Offering time, mine, mine, mine. I'll keep the Benjamins. I'll keep the Grants. Come on, I'll keep the 20s. Here, mine, here you go. And we tip God. All right, but look what God says he'll do. Try me now, says God. Look at the next verse. Show me Malachi 3:11. Or is that it? Anyway, the next one says, if I will not, read your Bible, if I will not open for you, everybody say, for me, the windows of heaven, and pour out on you such a blessing that there is not room enough to receive it. Our giving to God makes room for God to move. Come on, God needs room, the bus to move. You create that room. It's capacity. Wow, this is a church thing. No, it isn't. Read all the books. Read Susie Orme. I think she's a Jewish lady. Good teacher. She says, give 10% to your house of worship. I read a book, Secrets of a Millionaire Mind. Jewish guy. He says, I've been doing this since I was 19 when I had no money. I heard my mentor say, give 10% of my money away to charity. So I do. And I've been doing it for however many years. He's not 19 anymore. And he's very wealthy now. Listen to this. This is good, but it's also sad. He goes, I don't know how it works. How many tithers say, I don't know how it works? Yeah, I don't know how it works. I heard a guy earlier in my Christianity says, can't tell you how it works, but you take it out in pencil and paper. You give God his 10, the 90 will always go further than the 100. And all the tithers say, amen. Since 84, I've been tithing, and I'm not boasting myself because before I got a hold of Jesus, Bob Ricky wouldn't give anybody a penny. So I'm not boasting about myself. Y'all with me on this? Used to go partying with my friends. They buy, I would never buy. But I hated being cheap. My mind said it's good, but inside it was like this. How many folks know what I'm talking about? Hate being cheap. Oh, but God will open the windows of heaven. But if I don't, see if. See the word if? Very powerful word. Every time you read your Bible, see an if, you say, I got a choice. If I do what it says, I get blessing in life. If I don't, I won't. See, why doesn't God just open the windows of heaven anyway? Because he gave you the power. You open them. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, which means if I do it, he'll open the windows of heaven. If I don't, he won't. It's my choice. Well, if God loves me, he'll do it anyway. It's not the way it works. Samuel, if you pick up your toys, you can watch Toy Story for the fifth time. So if he doesn't pick them up, he doesn't watch it. Isn't that right? It's his choice. Do you want to watch them? That's what we teach our son. It's your choice, son. Do you want to watch it or not? Yeah, I want to watch it. Pick up your toys first. Daddy's not stopping you. It's your choice. What do you want me to do? You want me to put Toy Story in or you just want to leave it blank? I want Toy Story. Well, here's your choice. You choose. That's the way it works. Not the blessings, but I will not rebuke the devourer. Just a personal testimony. I've been teaching to handle money. We have no credit card debt, no card debt. But I did get involved in some real estate that was very challenging in Arizona. And there were some real challenges, and it was costing us money. So I've been tithing, and I said, God, you said you'll rebuke the devourer for my sake. I need some help up in here. That's not a very King James prayer, but there's some devouring going on here, my father. And out of anywhere, we get a renter who decides he wants to help buy it, and we got positive cash flow. I believe it's because of that. Man, I learned something. Maybe lose 50 grand. Hey, that's 1 year of Harvard. I learned a lot more. But we'll get it back. But he rebuked the devourer for my sake. And that's the great thing about giving. There's a lot more. But we're going to give you a chance to put some legs to your faith. Come on, man. Giving is just the nature of God. What is the nature of heaven? We'll get into this tonight. Creativity, excellence, generosity, faith, all things are possible. What is the nature of the lower nature? Fear, hoarding, mind. Oh, brother, you're just trying to get money. No, I'm not. If God can get it through you, he will get it to you. He's testing our capacity. Isn't that right? So all statistics say most Americans waste 13% of their own money anyway. That's what we do, help people find that money that they don't know they have and put it towards future goals and dreams. Teach you how to do that tonight. But let's start. The wisest financial decision you ever made. Warren Buffett gave $21 billion to Bill Gates. Why? He goes, I studied him for 2 years to see his capacity. Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. God gave one, five, one, two, one, one, each according to their own capacity. Let's prepare to give. I want you to sow a seed. We call it sowing a seed. And I want to just challenge, especially you business people, man. It's only 4 months. I don't do everything right. Okay, but I am going to heaven as a tither. That's one thing I'm going to get right. I think there's a special cloud in heaven for tithers. But in this economy, just do this. Fill this out. It's the wisest financial decision you ever made. Come on, you trusted your mutual fund company. They didn't do a very good job for you. Is that right? I'm just being honest with this. But God says, test me. Test me. Talk to your mutual fund company. Say, well, you only lost 30%. A lot of people lost 50%. You should feel good. I heard a guy actually say that to a client. It's a room full of clients. But God says, test me in this. So just fill that out. It's your choice. It's an awesome thing. It's the wisest decision I've ever made. And I thank God my wife's a giver. All right, take your offering envelope. I'm not sure how they do it at New Life. But this is great. This is like your seed. You know, you get envelopes full of seed. And you do that, so I'm not sure exactly how we do this. But everybody prepare an offering. Prepare to give something today so God can be blessed. And you're making, every time you offering comes, you have an opportunity to make a statement as to whether you sang today, Hosanna to God in the highest. Well, let's say that God is highest in my finances. I think giving in difficult times has more power in the spirit than when we have an abundance. Remember that lady in the Bible? It says she gave out of everything she had. And people say, well, see, she only gave a little. No, God's in the percentages because she said she gave 100%, which is better than giving out in abundance. You're in tough times right now. Giving to God now is more powerful than when we have an abundance and do those things. So just prepare your give. What do? You make the checks out to New Life Church and do what you got to do. And then, Pastor, take it home.